Hello and welcome to the German New Medicine Stories podcast. May listening bring liberation and lightness to your healing journey. Please note that nothing that I or any of my guests say here is or should be misinterpreted as medical information or advice. These are personal stories, not prescriptions. So today I have my husband Matthew back because since our last episode together, he has really resolved his dandruff. And so he's had dandruff, I think, since about 10 years old, you know, very chronically, you know, very severe, like very visibly obvious pretty much all the time. And yeah, in the past few months, he like really cracked that nut. And I love this story because for multiple reasons. One, because you know, it wasn't like we found the conflict shock and then everything unraveled. Okay. There was a vague idea of, you know, who it was in relation to and, you know, kind of around the time it would have started, but even that it was vague. And so this symptom was addressed by working here and now in the present. And so I think that's hopefully inspiring to a lot of you, because I know it can feel like, you know, if you're struggling to kind of trawl back over all of your memories in your past and like find the moment, you know, there's a lot of strategies and a lot of different approaches to that, but that's, you know, not the topic of this conversation. Let's say that you have exhausted all means of figuring out the original conflict shock. It's okay. It's not a problem. There are many ways to skin a rabbit. And, you know, in order to have a chronic symptom, you have to be stepping on that track all the time here and now, right? You have to be keeping this alive almost every day, probably. And so figuring out how it is you go about doing that will then allow you to go to work on yourself so you can, you know, actually resolve the conflict here, even if you can't find the initial kind of like schism in your psyche. And so we also talk a lot about kind of downgrading. You know, I have quite a few stories on the podcast of, you know, these aha moments where everything just falls away instantaneously and it's glorious and amazing, obviously. But sometimes that's not how it works. And it is more of a slow kind of chunking away process, what we call downgrading. So that's really this story. It wasn't kind of a one and done situation. We kind of slowly honed in, and then had all these different serendipitous things that really brought into full awareness the kind of like root sort of beliefs and feelings that were going on inside of Matthew that were creating this separation conflict. So this is the surface layer of skin. Dandruff is a surface layer of skin. Separation, so either wanting separation from someone or living, some kind of living being, could also be a pet as an example, or wanting to get closer. In Matthew's case, it was wanting separation, and he'll tell the full story in the interview. But yeah, you know, a lot of good insight in here of how to start breaking apart all of this stuff. And also, I want you to pay attention to, because I think this is an important thing to grasp. So he'll share how like the general sort of theme of the conflict, the feeling that he that was the track, is around feeling goofy. And this relates to kind of his childhood relationship to his hair, but then how he could step on the track now in the present, in something that has absolutely nothing to do with hair, which was what the original conflict was in relation to. But now it's like any time that he feels that kind of goofy, I want to just disappear, I don't want anyone to see me feeling, it could be an entirely different context. We share about an example of him driving a car, having this conflict. And so it's common how these things can like bleed over. And that at the level of content, there's really no relationship, but at like a bigger picture, sort of thought pattern, beliefs about self, all of this is the same. So, yeah, there's a lot of really kind of practical information in here about the subtleties of applying this work to chronic symptoms, especially when it's proving challenging to really find that golden nugget of the original conflict shock. So yeah, hope you all get a lot out of it.
Yeah. So earlier in our relationship, like for a while, since you've been into GNM, we've been talking about my dandruff because it's like so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And you
well,
know,
not anymore.
But yeah, and it seems like something that is an achievable goal too. Like it seems like we can tackle it. So we've had many conversations about like, you know, what I want to separate from.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch something about how boys often get dandruff when they feel rejected by girls in like high school and stuff. And we talked a bit about that, but it didn't really land. For me, nothing really changed.
Well, yeah, but I think you did. There was a moment of like, oh yeah, I did feel awkward and self-conscious.
For sure, yeah, that's true. And it made us like reflect. It was maybe the first time you realized how self-conscious I felt about my hair, like pretty much on a daily basis for as long as I can really remember.
And why do you think like your self-consciousness was like really all focused about that?
I think because in my family it felt like it was so like everybody else had it figured out.
their hair figured out.
They had their hair figured out. And I didn't. I remember so many like formal occasions,
right,
where I would like be ready to go, and then there was just this like thing sticking out of the back of my head that I wasn't really paying attention to, because like I can't see my hair. Why am I? It seems like such a hard thing to do. Clothing myself, I can see, but my hair is an unknown, and I just wasn't like something I felt like I could tame easily. Mm. So there was many experiences of like my mom and my sister like getting like their hands wet and just sort of like trying to like, you know, tame my hair. So that like pattern, I think, really ingrained. It's just my hair is unruly. My hair doesn't look good. It's kind of goofy. It's probably like my worst asset.
Right. Like I'm handsome, but.
Well, I never really thought I was handsome, but it was like the thing that's keeping me the farthest from being handsome is definitely my hair. Yeah. And it felt like it was something that I hardly had control over, especially when it was just like, I can't, even when I'm in the mirror, I can't see the back of it. So
right.
It was just like, this is a unknown that I just have to like deal with. And I felt quite self-conscious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first conversation.
That was the first sort of series of conversations that we had.
Mm-hmm. And then we were apart for quite a while because you were working in Alberta.
Yeah, exactly. But on one of the weekends that I came to visit you, we were talking about it again because I had just cut my hair. I'd cut my dreads off. And then, yeah, I was just, we were outside of a restaurant talking about it. Nice, like casual sunny day. And then I went in to use the bathroom.
No, we were talking about it. I think we must have been talking about your hair because your brother's wedding was coming up. And like you would cut your hair from the dreads and then I had cut it for you, but like it didn't, it wasn't like a proper haircut.
Yeah.
And your brother like was a very, you're the best man, very formal wedding.
Yeah. And my brother since high school has spent like at least 20 minutes on his hair every morning or something, you know? So he's really put together. And I felt like it was sort of a way to honor him and the wedding party and the whole ceremony for me to sort of like be presentable and look really good for the other family who we hardly know. I hardly know.
Right. So then I think I brought up again the like the goofy thing, and you, I think we're just like, had maybe been sitting with that a little bit more.
Had we figured out the goofy thing yet?
Well, maybe that was the first time you would say like, I feel goofy about my hair.
Right.
And I was like, oh, like I didn't, because I just thought, because again, this is like, I think a critical piece, because oftentimes like the things that are our conflicts, they're the things that we don't want other people to see about us.
Yeah,
and
we
so I thought like, you know,
can.
You like, given the fact that your family is very put together and that you had dreads and all, like that you kind of just had like, that you didn't care, but like, you know, you had like externally the persona of like, I don't give a shit what anyone thinks about how I look.
Yeah.
And so it was like news to me that you actually, there was quite a like pervasive feeling of feeling uncomfortable about how you looked.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you went to the bathroom.
Yes. Yeah. And then I looked at myself in the mirror and I had that like
mm-hmm.
very sort of instantaneous, like fleeting thought of like, wow, I look goofy.
Uh-huh.
Like my hair looks dumb. Which then I came out and told Freya about, and I spoke to her about how I recognized that that thought happens basically every time I look in a mirror or look at a photo of myself, or even sometimes feel my head, my hair against like some surface, like a car seat headrest or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh, wow, it was a big, big eye-opening moment for both of us.
Yeah, it was similar to the moment, I think, I think you knew that was you stepping on a track because you had felt it with your ears, right? So you had felt like that sensation of just like a fleeting thought that you almost hadn't noticed was there before.
Yeah,
time you caught it. And so you're like, you knew, oh, that's a track. That's what a track feels like.
Totally.
Uh-huh.
Totally. It could have just like flown by if I didn't have the awareness of like what that was like.
Yeah. So then we talked a lot about it.
A lot about it.
Which was uncomfortable.
For sure. But it also, I mean, it kind of, in a way, it feels good.
Mm.
To be able to talk about these things with no judgment and just like get it out, because the protective aspect of it is so important. Mm. And it's so much of the fuel for it.
Yes.
That like once I speak about it, and like you can't really feel embarrassed too much about something that you've already sort of like announced.
Yeah. Well, and I think so, like again, I sort of already said it, but maybe I can say it in a different way. Like it's not the feeling. So we'll get more into all of the different tracks that we uncovered, but mm-hmm. like it ultimately was a sensation of like feeling goofy and wanting, in this case, it was wanting to separate from the people around you because mm-hmm. you felt self-conscious, and it was like localized to your hair because like of given kind of your childhood context.
Yeah.
But it's not that like feeling goofy, it, you know, anytime
there's
like,
no
anyone
feeling
feels
goofy conflict.
No, and like that's not like it's not in that in of itself is like what it's about. It's that feeling goofy is not acceptable mm-hmm. to like your self-concept because you're like, remember it's like your childhood, right? It's like everyone else in my family cares, but I'm the one who doesn't care. And like caring about how you look is stupid, silly, immature, vain.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I'm not that person.
Yeah. I don't want to be that person.
Yeah. So that's always like when, like, you know, for me, like the self-devaluation, right? It's like, I've had a lot of self-devaluation conflicts, and like such a big part of my way that I see myself is like, I'm a very confident person. And so I have a conflict when I feel insecure or like devalued about myself. Cause like, I don't feel like I can say that or really talk about it because I feel so embarrassed about it or whatever.
Right.
And it's the same in this thing. Like you have this, like I'm the kind of person who doesn't feel good. I don't care, right?
It's like a protection from humiliation.
Yeah.
But it's like specific about being goofy.
Well, and it's interesting because like you pulled it off very well because like that's what I thought for the first year of our relationship. Yeah. And I think that's like the beautiful part of the symptom is always, right? Is it's like it doesn't let you escape from like, the true thing.
Because even though I thought that I thought I didn't care.
Yeah, yeah. You were being honest.
I was,
in a lot of ways,
And yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying in my own way to like unravel caring so much about how I looked. And it was like,
mm-hmm.
I had made conscious decisions to try to to stop feeling so self-conscious about my hair or how I look.
Yeah.
But it none of it worked. So...
And then I think another like funny piece from that conversation, I don't even know why it came up. Well, because we were talking about your brother's wedding.
Yeah.
It was like, you had said like, wouldn't it be so cool to not have dandruff for my brother's wedding?
Yeah. Yeah. I was imagining like a black suit, like the best man, black suit, a bunch of fucking white, like nasty. And like, how beautiful would it be for me to be that presentable, like image that I'm trying to be for him and like be able to maintain that. To that level.
And like allow yourself to care about that for once. You know what I mean? Like allow yourself to be whatever vain or the thing that you've put as like, no, that's not what allowed. Like other people feel, yeah. But I don't, because I'm better than that or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm above. I'm like spiritually more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think we maybe had mentioned it the last time that like, I don't know why it's like a thing that you and I do, but like making the goofy mantra. Do you want to say it? We were like joking around with different things, but what
Was we made a mantra just to like continue to diffuse the situation as a sort of like shield against those thoughts that can come in so quickly. You have to have something that's also pretty quick and effective to sort of like switch the direction of that thinking. So we came up, we were workshopping a mantra. We worked together on it, but I came up with a mantra that was, I think it was, a little bit of goofy goes a long way. And it's super silly and stupid, but that's part of why it works.
Yeah. Because, okay, oh, so this is also another piece that I have like observed a lot in myself and other people and you, is because like, so part of the sensation is like you feel goofy, and a lot of the time it's, again, it's like not even that in the moment the feeling goofy or the feeling devalued or feeling or whatever is an issue, but it's that you project that you're not going to be able to get what you want in life because you of that. Like, I think that was a big piece for you. Like, you feel unprofessional and here you are like out being an entrepreneur and like self-employed. And is this thing going to stop? Like, is it gonna, you're gonna be perceived in a certain way that's going to like impede your success? So then I was like, I don't know, I think that like oftentimes being too handsome doesn't get you, like, you know, like having being a little quirky gets you places in life sometimes. I think that's where that mantra kind of came from.
Yeah, like, you're more like approachable.
Yeah,
you can be easier to start to speak
and just trying to like break up that idea, like maybe you could have really bad dandruff and have everything you want in life.
Exactly. Just not making it, not assigning so much meaning to like
totally, because I think
what
that's
I can achieve.
That's such a big piece of like unraveling a conflict is whatever the thing happened, you're making it mean all of this stuff about your future.
Yeah. It's like you're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah.
And then you're putting that mountain like right in the way of what you want.
Mm-hmm. So then we were apart for about another month. So did you, what was that like? Just like observing how often you were stepping on the track?
It was funny. To say the least, like to really recognize how often I was looking at myself, even in like reflections, and just seeing like, I don't know. But I think that mantra really, really did help, because it was catchy. It was sort of like, it worked for me, and it let me just like kind of let go of the situation in a lot of ways.
And you also realize that the dandruff itself was a track too. Like if you saw it.
If I was seeing dandruff, then I would like feel self-conscious about my head, my scalp. I'd feel goofy. I feel like embarrassed and like wanting to hide it and my feelings about it.
And it definitely downgraded.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, we forgot to say that on my brother's wedding day, there was no dandruff.
Yeah, but we should say why, because so it had really so the thing about the dandruff, it was like such a funny one, because I could see it so like closely, right? Interesting, like you can't, I could see it kind of more clearly than you, like when it would come and go, and so it had really downgraded when I saw you next, like a few weeks before your brother's wedding,
right?
And then in the week before your brother's wedding, we went to a downtown Vancouver mall, which is very much not our kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to buy these linen dress pants for me. You.
Yeah.
And do you want to describe what happened?
Yeah, so they had a couple different sizes. They had one pant that was my size, but it was in a color I didn't want. It was in black. And then they had the color I wanted, but like a 34 waist, and I'm like a 30. So it was like, I was swimming in them. I was. So I tried on the black ones, and we were like, maybe these pants in general just like are not the move. Like they kind of look funny. It doesn't suit me. It felt like it just like didn't really look that good.
And it also had like a linen suit jacket.
It was a suit jacket that went along with it,
which you had put on.
So I put I put on the like really baggy green pants, and then the suit jacket as well, and I felt like I was in some like oversized zoot suit. I looked so stupid.
And you weren't in, you know, like when you go to a like a clothing store and there's not a mirror in the little room, you know, so you have to like stand out and everyone kind of like looking at each other.
Right.
So you were like exposed to people getting changed and people in the store and to me.
Yeah.
And you were just like having a moment.
Yeah, yeah. I like melted and shriveled inside. Yeah, it was like kind of a fancy store. It was, you know, like downtown Vancouver, the whole like vibe that I didn't feel like I was ever a part of.
Right. That in a way was a lot of your family. Like but you felt so goofy.
I felt incredibly goofy. And it was just this moment of like totally like shifting my personality. Like
it was so funny.
My demeanor completely shifted. I got like super like sort of cagey and uncomfortable and like sweaty. I was like trying to like talk to Freya like under my breath. I didn't want anyone to hear what I was like saying. I felt like completely activated. Completely activated.
It was just like so, it was so funny because I was like, what's going on? Like, I mean, I know that like I also like a similar thing of like I hated shopping as a kid and I didn't feel comfortable then. So I know that sensation, but it was like so extreme in you. I'm just like, I could like your skin was so obviously crawling.
Yeah.
And you just felt so like it was like you felt like no one was watching you, but you definitely perceived like everyone is watching me right now. And everyone thinks that I'm an absolute fool and I'm a loser and going nowhere in life.
Exactly.
And you just like had to get out of there as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And just like
to escape.
Yeah. And so it was a real gift of a moment because it was like instead of, you didn't like just like a little bit step on the track, you like put, you know, both full feet on the track and just like fully felt that sensation. And then we got to like talk about it a lot because probably I don't know if it was like the original conflict necessarily, but like a big moment that added a track or an extended track to it is when you were shopping
when I was shopping as a kid when I was with my mom, and it was just like none of the clothes I felt like I liked or whatever. And I remembered in that moment at that store with you how many other times in change rooms like that where someone asked me to come out and like show me what I'm wearing and how it looks, like how do you like it sort of thing, and I'm already feeling very self-conscious about it, and then I come out and see them look at me and then I just project so much. Oh, like, oh man, I look so stupid, don't I? This looks terrible. I don't like this.
Because you want it, because like the true thing is that like you want to feel put together.
Yeah, I want to look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is such a like, I don't know, I'm sure people listening can empathize with that. Like I remember it is such an uncomfortable feeling. Like I want to know how to look put together, but like I don't understand it.
Yes.
Especially when you were around a bunch of people who like did get it, you know, and felt like it was like, oh, they so easily look put together. And I felt like, what the fuck?
Yeah, totally. I wanted to look put together, but I also didn't want to be like a mannequin for my mom and sister.
Right.
Like I didn't want to just like have things pasted onto me like a doll. Like I just didn't want, I wanted to have my own sense of style. And if it wasn't what my mom was telling me I looked good in, then there wasn't another place for me to go to figure that out.
Yeah.
I wasn't about to like pick up catalogs and like look through what like, you know, men's fashion or like boy, you know, it's just like there's nothing, especially for boys. Like I was shopping like The Gap and Old Navy in American Eagle. Like none of that stuff looks good anyway.
Yeah. Well, and your self-protective mechanism was to be like, I don't care about how I look. So you couldn't then be seen to like be trying to figure out how to look good.
Yeah. I had like tried to like give up on trying to look good and just try to like pretend pass. That's how you care. Just pass.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was a real gift because it worked. That then, like, that was a massive, like, the next day, I think, just, like,
huge downgrade.
Huge yeah, downgrade. Yeah. And like the wedding was a couple of days later, and no dandruff at the wedding, which was like super, like it was just such a neat thing of like when you just set like, and we've been spending so much time talking about all of like the nephew daughter and stuff. And I bet you in that moment, like you did actually feel the sensation of like, oh yeah, what that would be like to be at the wedding without the symptom.
For sure.
And then what happened? Things, you know, serendipitously
orchestrated.
Occurred so that came to reality.
Totally. Totally. The other thing I want to mention before my brother's wedding, Bray had cut my hair, but not super well. And then I went to a barbershop to get my hair cut nicely. So I looked as good as I could possibly look is what I was trying to do, which was new for me, but it was also good to do for my brother. So I did. Frey and I went to a barbershop, one that I had seen before.
Very hip.
Super hip, like the kind of place where people have their looks figured out. And this is something that I'm like trying to get. I'm trying to go to them to figure out my looks.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of going into the belly of the beast, like a change room. So I went in and immediately, again, had a very similar reaction, but I was like, I had to talk to the to the barber who was trying to interact with a guy who was like in the process of melting and like running away while staying there. So that was another big moment where I recognized that, because like the hairdresser, it's all about my hair. This is where like things really like matched, you know, like I would go to hairdressers when I was a kid and not like what I looked like coming out. I would never feel good about a haircut. I remember like every haircut I would have, I would come home and be like, I don't really like it. Like they put product in my hair. They kind of like did this and they like washed it in a funny way. And like, it just looks like it's too much. It's not,
yeah,
doesn't feel natural. Doesn't feel like it's me. So then I also didn't ever feel
had,
like I
had a little patty in the hairdryer.
Oh yeah. And it wasn't little. It was big. And then it was the second time that day, or in as many days, like maximum 2 days, where I had that sort of reaction. It was like, I think it must have been the day after or the same day as the pants. And as soon as we got out of that store, you were like, what the hell was that? Like, who are you in those moments? Like, that is the least masculine I've ever seen you. And it's embarrassing to be around someone who just shrivels like that. And I completely agreed, because it feels terrible. But yeah, it was a hard conversation. But it was also like very... Yeah, it was honest. It was like totally, completely open, real emotions.
One something that I really admire about you, and I think is so critical to like resolving conflicts, is like you are so willing to like see yourself in like really like, because that was a very uncomfortable moment, but
yeah,
like you saw it. You know, like you weren't
totally. So, I could have just like totally ignored you in that conversation that you were like, you know, or that lecture from you, you know, like I could have just like walked to the car and just been like, whatever, like you're just gonna do that. Like, I'm fine. I've got to figure it out. I don't need your help. I don't want to hear that. Like, I was there being like, yes, like I don't want to feel like this either. Yeah. And that wasn't necessarily lovely or easy.
I think that what I was trying to it was so clearly like you forgot who you are in that moment, right? Like and it makes sense, like these conflicts, it's like it is our most like childish parts often, and like you kind of do like revert in age a little bit, and so we do like, it does to an outside observer, it like looks absurd, like all of our conflicts sort of do. And it is helpful to like have another person just like shake you and be like, look, Matthew, that's not who you are. Like, you see yourself, like, just like, you know, like, and I think
that's really what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
was and like what, kind of bring what me back into gift? Myself.
Was it then you 3 days later, you were the best man at your brother's wedding and you wrote like just a stunning speech that like everybody just like is still raving about, like and so there was such an I think like there was like this the major polarity of like feeling what it's like to just like be fully Matthew in front of like 200 people or whatever.
To feel, feel me at this age, not feel fully Matthew at 7 years old. Because that's how it was, you know, it was just, it was that, that neural network of like who, like that's just the imprint of like that little circuit that stuck. Me at seven.
Yeah.
Is just what I revert back to. Or five, I don't know, but it was young, you know, it was a young me that came out. But to feel, to really feel like strong and stable in who I am as an adult.
And to get a thousand compliments so now handsome you were.
And how good the speech was. It was half and half.
It was so funny because was really like good. I was Matthew's brother getting married. And so I'm sitting with Matthew's family, it's a very big family. And like all of the like his brother walked out and then all of what do you call the best? Like you're the best.
The wedding party. The wedding rooms.
Yeah, the groomsmen all walk out. And also this is the first time that most of Matthew's family has seen him in person without his dreads. Yeah. And they all have like quite strong feelings about not appreciating his dreads. And it was just like the all the men walked out and then like I hear, I don't know, like 10 people behind me being like, oh my God, Matthew is so handsome. So I was just like all night there was I think it was just like such a gift for you to like actually have yourself reflected.
Totally.
Yeah. And like what to step into yourself.
Yes, totally. Mm-hmm. And to have so much evidence of like who I am come back to me and to be able to receive that well.
Yeah.
Because that was another aspect of it. I was like, when you're not a match for feeling good about yourself and having like happy compliments about you, you're going to get a bunch of compliments, but you're not, they're not going to go in.
Yeah.
So like to.
We also, another practical resolution. Is that week, and it's like sort of it wrapped in, is we went and bought like so many, you bought so many new clothes.
Yeah, we bought a bunch of new clothes that fit well, that are
they like actually nice. Felt like they who fit. You are.
Yeah.
So there was, even though that's not, okay, that's not your hair, obviously, but there is like it was this.
It's that same.
Yeah, it stops, to stop pretending that you don't care about how you look and actually like take some attention to like having your physical appearance and body. Like who you are.
Yeah. What I feel internally. Yeah.
So that was really cool. And then
that was really, really
cool. And like that was definitely, I think, the biggest downgrade was that week. But the 100%. Super okay, the super interesting thing is so before it was like consistent, like all the time, intense dandruff. And then it was like so downgraded. And then it was so obvious when he had stepped on a track and I didn't like, it was so, it's so wild to watch, but I think it's probably about like 15 minutes between when Matthew steps on track and when I can see visually like, oh, Matthew, you just feel goofy 15 minutes ago. It's like, so it's very interesting how obvious, and that's like, you know, it's come up multiple times on the podcast that in the beginning, you know, when a symptom is very all consuming, it's challenging. But once you get that first kind of chunk off, then it becomes just like, boom, boom, boom. You get to see all the tracks because you, then you get to really discern the moments between on, off, on, off. So I think then we were apart after the wedding because you were working and we were over FaceTime. And I could see on FaceTime.
Right.
So I was like, Matthew, what just happened? Like, what? Do you want to tell this story about this?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, it's a funny one. Mm. So I was on back on Salt Spring. I was working for my landlady. Freya had our truck, so I didn't have a car of my own, and then my landlady let me use her extra car, which was a Volkswagen, like a Westphalia from the 80s. So it was like a stick shift on the floor, and I recognized that when I was driving it, because I used to have a stick shift as well, similar kind of setup,
but it was like many years before you hadn't driven
a few years shift. I haven't driven in 4-ish years, something like that. So I was driving it And then I almost like stalled out on like the main road on Salt Spring, and there was like a person behind me, and I just fully had another like goof embarrassment, like everybody's watching me and judging me and looking like seeing how stupid I am and how stupid I look moment in that van. And
Which was a try, and it's just it's such an interesting example, right? Because it's showing that it's not like these are all different situations, right? It's like he looks in the mirror, or he's in the clothing store trying on something, or he's in the Jeep driving and he stalls his. No, wait, so it wasn't the Jeep, it was the VW, but whatever, like you stall the car and you it's like it's the same like feeling thought pattern of like getting all consumed in that sensation. It was just very cool. Like I was not expecting you to say that when I remember when we were having that conversation, but it was so you definitely like there was a lot of emotion about it.
Like it was something that also once I had recognized was super obvious to me. I was like, oh yeah, I feel like a total idiot when I can't drive a stick shift, because it's like to me, I don't know, there's something like it represents my like capacity and like general capability. Like if I can't like drive a farm truck or a tractor or just a, you know, simple stick shift, like that's basic mechanical operations, I don't feel like super masculine. I'm like suddenly it's like again my like prospects are limited because I'm some like soft city kid who can only drive an automatic. Like it's just like I don't want that, but also it's like that's a bit extreme. But anyway, so it was it made sense, and then it was like very valuable to look back on and recognize. And again, yeah, the tracks can look very different.
A week later, I was there. Well, yeah, I was coming to pick you up to move to Quadra. And we had just gone out for dinner, and then we had taken a selfie at the end of dinner. And then a few, like, whatever, 10, 15 minutes later, I had noticed. I might have even joked in the moment because I think now that I actually know, I could kind of see like the glitch in your like whatever in your system in the moment, and I was like, do you feel goofy to say which you did.
Yeah, I definitely did. Yeah. And it, but it was that was such a little moment. I just saw it briefly, and then that thought came back, right? And I didn't catch that one really. I sort of did, but I didn't like repattern it in the
And
moment.
it's and like it's this kind of stuff, like it's such oftentimes like silly, petty little flashes. Like it's not necessarily dramatic, and it's not necessarily like profound. It's often these little catches, like, you know, and so I hope that these stories are conveying that to people.
Totally.
And then do you want to share the other one that we found the other night?
Yeah, so we ended up circling all the way back to feeling rejected by a woman and how with the
Right. That's so true. Right.
like right, we came all the way back and it was like, oh man, like I feel goofy when I get rejected by Freya.
Yeah, like when
Here
you
we are,
wanted
all the
it.
way back. Just needed to unravel everything else to get to like the root.
If it was the
If it
river,
is the root or it's just another track, yeah. But
Like yeah, if he wants to kiss me and I'm like, oh, I'm not interested, then you feel goofy by my rejection.
yeah, totally. Totally. And then the last sort of piece that we've been wrestling with or whatever that I've unraveled about it is just this like a subtle feeling that I have in my body when I go out into the world, when I'm like trying, I've recognized that like I like tense some muscles back here. I try to like, you know, like be presentable and like not the person who can look goofy. I try to come off as super personable and I'm really like trying,
Right, which is
which
like
puts
so
me
funny
in a
because
vulnerable position.
it's just like completely naturally who you are, but it's like
Yeah, but it's, yeah.
you can't like see yourself through, and that's just like such a common
Totally.
thing, right? You that
I just
the
have this
conflict is like
filter.
distorting your vision.
Totally. Totally.
But yeah, that you're kind of like there's you're always a little bit on guard of trying not to be goofy, and just like now if you notice that Like that's like getting to like the core foundation piece of like, how can I just not kind of always be primed to have this conflict and step on this track?
Exactly.
What
Like there's
about
a
who
way,
you are could shift?
yeah, there's a way of like walking in the world and like to like physical holding myself, like what, whatever, my posture and stuff that sort of implies and helps my thoughts go in a certain direction where I can be goofy and not care.
Yeah.
Like I'm fine being myself. I'm comfortable as who I am. I know that
Well, because in
being
some contexts you're like in a way, and you can now like take that and take it elsewhere. You're so comfortable being goofy. I mean, you're such a
I
like,
love being silly.
yeah, you're like
Yeah.
such a joker, and like you can be very theatrical and like put on like huge bits, and you know, so
Yeah.
there's a way where like you, that is also like so your essence actually, like in a
Yeah.
really powerful way, your ability to be goofy.
Yes. Yeah. Which has maybe been a sort of double bind as well. That like I love being goofy, but also like just not here. Like just don't, I'm not allowed to be goofy here. This is not okay. I'm not allowed to joke about myself and make funny little jokes and be silly here. But
Right.
everywhere else, fine. Right here, where it really kind of hurts.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Don't touch that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, interesting that I'm like I can be like gregarious at
Yeah.
times and
Yeah.
like and I love that and I'm pretty like intentional with it, but there, yeah, there's some little tracks I can step on that really take me out of that and make me really like self-conscious and then make it mean so much that like, oh man, I'm goofy. What that means, that all these things about who I can be and what I can achieve. So that was really helpful. Just like the pre-thought, like the setup to being able to feel goofy.
Yeah.
Like to be able to set a step on those tracks is what I just uncovered.
Yeah. Which I think is like the core. That's always like the meta resolution, right? Is like, what kind of person would I have to be? What kind of state of consciousness would I have to, you know, live my life in and through to just never be able to have this conflict again?
Right, which is what I was trying to achieve.
Right, by pretending I don't
For
care.
all those years, by
Yeah.
pretending I don't care.
Yeah. And that's so odd. It's like always, I mean, it's just like the forever personal development lesson, isn't it? It's like the moment you just stop resisting and just allow however it is you feel in the moment, then you actually become the thing that you wanted to be. When you just let yourself be who you are right now, then you
Yeah.
can become who it is you
You
want to
can
be.
let it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So thank you, Dandra.
Thank you, Dandra. Yeah. And thank you, JNM Genius Wife. Because I would probably still have Dandra.
I mean, it's just, it's so cool. Like every day I look at you and I'm just like, holy fuck. Cause like it was, yeah, it was not a small symptom.
Yeah. Yeah. And now because dandruff was also a track, like it's working itself out too. Like I
yeah,
don't,
it was just barely, maybe like 2% of what was
right, which
there.
means I can't feel goofy about having dandruff.
Yes.
Like so
Right.
it's not, it doesn't, because that's the spiral. The dandruff was like the next level to keep it chronic.
Yeah. Well, and every single day you looked in the mirror.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about that?
Yeah, it's not in, it's not completely gone yet.
Yeah.
But we're damn close.
Yeah, well, and I wanted to share it because there's so many, like all the little moments we were going to forget. Like it took us, we had brought this list beforehand, so we wouldn't forget. It's, I mean, it's so close to being gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Matthew doesn't have a public Instagram page, but you can follow me at Freya Kellett. And you can sign up to my email list at Substack for free. If you want to stay up to date on all of my GNM adventures and resources. Yeah, thank you for listening. I hope it's been helpful.